Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit, brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn. I'd like everybody to notice, if you haven't already, that each time I have a show, I try to put up some recommended reading materials for people. There have been so many books that have helped me. And if you have any questions, you can always ask me. But I also want to make sure that everyone knows there are a lot of books out there that you can actually go and refer to if you're, you know, feeling stuck or, you know, you're too shy to ask a question. So hopefully you can all hear me because something weird just happened on my computer. I'm just going to keep going and reload the chat. And if anybody in the chat can't hear me or something wacky's happening, just let me know. Log in here. Very weird, as usual. Welcome to my world, technology. I used to be really good at this stuff. I don't think I am anymore. hang on just a sec. I'm going to try to get back to the show page. Also, I just want to encourage anyone that's out there listening, if you are on this page, you can see that there's a chat room at the bottom. And also, you know, if you're not a person that's got an account, you're not going to be able to interact in the chat room. But if you just go and you sign up for an account, I know it's a pain in the butt for some people. They don't want to do it. But it's really easy. All you have to really do is just put in the basics. You don't really need to do anything special. So don't need to upload a picture. Nobody needs to know who you are. Just throw in your name, throw in like a username, and you'll be able to chat in all the rooms, and you'll be great. You'll have a really good time. The people that end up in these chat rooms are just so great. They love to talk about this stuff. It's like a free forum for them where they can talk to other people that are like-minded and everything. It's just, it really is a pleasant experience. I've actually been a part of a lot of chat rooms on other shows as well and kind of interact with people, and it's just, it really does make a difference. Also, if you're too shy to call in, you can ask a question in the show, of the show in the chat room. So that way you avoid the whole, I don't want to talk on the radio. So as many opportunities as possible for you to get on here and ask questions. You can email and all that as well. So today's topic is a really, you know, it's a basic topic, but it's very interesting, and it's a really broad kind of topic. But everybody wants to know, how do I know if I'm psychic, and what does that really mean? So the first thing I would say is, you know, as humans, we really like to define things, put definitions and labels on things, because that's how we interact with our world. And for me, psychic just means that you're connected, you're tuned in. There are a lot of terms. There's, you know, I'm intuitive, or I'm a medium, I'm a sensitive. That's kind of a new one for me. I haven't seen that much. But they're all pretty much just labels that we're using to help us kind of discern what's going on. But in the end, it's really the same. It's all the same thing. It's being able to tap into the energy of everything that's alive around us. And that means things that you can't see as well as things that you can see. So everything from plants, animals, you know, other people, you should be able to open up and tap into them as well. It doesn't just mean talking to the other side, although that's kind of like the most prevalent definition people have. I have been asked a number of times, well, how is this different from imagination? And that's a really good question, but it's really tricky. The only way I can answer that question is, like, if you look up the definition of imagination, I've actually got a little dictionary on my computer here. It says, the faculty or action of forming new ideas, new or images, or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. So right there, the definition is telling you you're not picking up information from the things around you. It's actually something that you're creating within your own mind. Okay, got that. To be psychic and to be discerning about what's being picked up that's psychic or if it's imagination, the stuff that's psychic doesn't come from your own mind. You're not actively creating it. You're actually picking it up like an antenna. And you can get that kind of information pretty much because we are all connected. And I wanted to bring up, there's a really great book out there. Didn't put this one up, but it's, hold on a second. I got a question in the chat room. just discussion. I don't really like to do readings if, you know, I can help it on the show, just because there's so many other shows that do that. I want to be different, and I want to help people kind of get behind the scenes on what it's like to actually be psychic. Because one of the things that I found is going out there and trying to explore this stuff has been really, really hard. I've had a hard time trying to find people that will open up to me and, like, give me the skinny. And it's like either they're afraid that they don't know as much, or that they don't know what, you know, I'm trying to find out, or they're afraid that I'll know that they don't know as much. I mean, there's all this human element kind of gets in the way of this. So I want people to feel free to say, you know what, I've had this experience, I want to know what it means, and just be able to talk to me like another human, not have to come and, you know, enter this weird world of people that are all new age and you feel like an outsider. I want everyone to feel like they belong, because we all do belong, and we do all have some of this gift. You may not be as, you know, proficient with this as other people, but that doesn't mean you can't use it for yourself, because you do have your own. This book is called The Field by Lynn McTaggart. You can get it on iTunes and download it if you're one of these people that's kind of always on the go, maybe stuck in traffic a lot, have a long commute. You can listen to it. It's every bit as good if you listen to it than if you read it. So that's a book that is by Lynn McTaggart. Now, Lynn McTaggart is a journalist. She went off on this assignment that took her down this whole road of the science of consciousness. So what she basically did was, as a journalist, her job is to make sure she reports everything, and it has to be understandable. You know, you have to make it digestible for people. Well, I'm not a mathematician or a physicist, and all those guys speak in equations, and as soon as I see an equation, my eyes kind of glaze over. I don't go there. It's not really my strength. So what she did is she talked to all these people who are very highly intelligent and understand all of these processes that science, you know, has broken down, and brings them to us in English. So if you can get a hold of that book, I guarantee you it'll change the way you look at things. It's the way it's explained, it's just amazing. At the basic level, just to give you kind of, this is where I kind of got the most of how I can understand my own environment in terms of energy. This was a really great book to help me kind of get at that. At the basic level of what science is able to get down to, you know, it's like they get down to molecules, and then they get down to atoms, and there's protons and electrons. And at the very tiniest, with what we can actually see with our current technology, they can see that between the particles is actually this little tiny electrical charge. They don't know what it is. They don't know where it comes from. That's energy. That's the thing that people are trying to basically understand: what gives us life, what makes us conscious, and all that. How does that translate into today's show? Well, energy vibrates to different frequencies. And the general rule of thumb is that the slower the vibration, the more solid the object. So like a chair, a table, you guys are all considered matter. We're all considered matter. We're vibrating at a slower rate, and so that slower rate makes us more dense, which makes us solid. Spirit energy, that it vibrates very, very rapidly. That's why it's hard for us to see, although there are some of us who can kind of see it. I think those of us who are able to see it have sort of a little bit more a sensitivity to being in tune with things around them. And it's really just a matter of tuning your attention in and figuring out how you pick up things, and that's how you know what your strongest abilities are. Like we've talked about in the past, for some people it's feeling. Feeling is a very legitimate form of communication. Feelings are communication. And so when people say things like, I talk to the dead, it kind of bothers me a little bit, because as a person who in the beginning had no idea what was going on, that really threw me. I was like, well, if they're talking to the dead, then that's definitely not what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I don't hear anything back. I'm not interfacing with something in the English language. You know, it's not like that. So I basically wrote myself off and said, oh, must just be my imagination. Well, what a coincidence. You just talked about that. Imagination, according to Sylvia Brown, if any of you don't know who she is, she's like one of these internationally famous mediums that are out there. Sylvia Brown says, imagination takes a lot of credit for things that really are from spirit. And I believe that she's right. And another person that's out there with a similar message, Neil Donald Walsh. He's got the books Conversations with God, that series that is in, like, a bestseller. There's three different books. In book one, he talks about, like, the basic stuff. He's, you know, talking to God, and God's giving him these answers. He asks God, well, how do I know that I'm really talking to you and I'm not just, you're not just in my imagination? And God basically says, what's the difference? So if those are any kind of indication of how we as a species have basically taught ourselves not to, like, give any attention to these kinds of things or put any stock into them, they have no value, only the things that you can see are real, I don't know what is. It's too bad that people have decided that the mind is the most important part of who we are, because there is so much more. And I think a lot of it has to do with power. You know, this life is all about power. It's all about relationship. And if we tell people, we go out there and tell everyone, hey, the most powerful thing that you have is your connection to everything around you. And the most powerful part of you is your heart, not, you know, the actual organ, but your heart. What do you think would happen? I think a lot of things would change. Definitely would get a lot of skepticism, but you might get people that are starting to question things, and that's always just, you know, oh no, we can't have people thinking for themselves. You know, that's just my personal bugaboo. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but if you do, give me a write on in the chat room, because I think that we need to start learning that we can trust ourselves and we don't always have to look to other people for the answer. We can get it ourselves. After, you know, basically describing vibrations and all that, let's talk about the spaces in between matter. The spaces that are in between things that you can see are not empty. They're full of energy. You can't see it because it's vibrating faster. I can't see air, but I know I'm breathing. I can't physically see my thoughts, but I know that I'm thinking. There's a whole lot out there that we don't see that we take for granted as real, and it's just because of that universal kind of programming. You know, society has basically told you a million times that something is that way. On a subconscious level, you just accept it. You know, we know that water can take on three different forms, and yet once it's steam and it disappears before our eyes, we think it's gone. It's not gone. It's taken on a different kind of form, something that you can't see. One of the great examples that's out there, and I think a very important film, is Avatar. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen that movie. It's amazing to me that somebody had, I guess, the guts to kind of go out there and make a movie like this. Talking about the connections between people and nature and animals, that everything is connected. And then there's this part of the movie where they've got this thing they call the soul tree, or the tree of souls. And they can use, they have this little part of them on the end of their hair that has fibers that they can use to physically connect with something, and then kind of there's like a download of information that happens. You can do that psychically. They do that, I think, to make the point more obvious, but they can actually connect to their ancestors, and they can hear them, and they can, you know, interact with them. They're not gone. They're still alive. So that's really what it's all about, the web of life. Everything really is connected, and it's not just some airy-fairy new age, like, let's all get along kind of thing. That goes down a political avenue that I don't like to go down. I'm not a fan of politics. But let's see. The part about, okay, so they've got this home tree in the movie, and that's where they live. And it, like, they can basically connect with this tree in the movie. Now, you'll hear people out there say things like, well, I can talk to trees. I don't doubt they can talk to trees. But what they're saying and how they're saying it is probably a little bit misleading, like I was saying before. The Native American people believed that everything was connected. And they learned from everything around them. They learned from the animals. They learned from the environment. They really didn't have even, like, in their language, from what I've read, they didn't have a word that gave a connotation for animal versus people. The animals to them were people, and they weren't lesser beings. And if you can read up on some of the stuff that's out there by Ted Andrews, that's another place you can pick up a lot of great information about that. One of the things that I was doing for a while on Facebook, I had a page called Nicole Quinn Spirit Messenger. That page is gone as of today. But I was doing these little bird signs reading. And bird signs, this was something that just came to me out of the blue. Now, next week's show is about signs and symbols, so I'm not going to completely spoil it for you, but this really does have significance with what does it mean to be psychic. Being psychic doesn't just mean you connect to the other side. You can connect to everything that's around you because everything has an energy. And if you think about it, if matter and things between matter don't have spaces between them, that there's really energy there, why wouldn't you be able to? That's a direct energetic connection to everything around you. We just take it for granted because we think everything is separate. So with these bird signs, I kept getting some signs from my spirit guides, and I'll do a show on that too, about birds. I've never been a bird person. I was always like, you know, I thought bird people were weird. You know, I'm like, I don't know, those little guys with their tiny little eyes and flapping their wings, they weren't cuddly like a cat or a dog, so I couldn't really relate to them. But once I moved to this new apartment complex that we live in now, and I saw so many birds in the back, and some of them would come really, really often, I started to kind of figure out, oh, you can't really ignore one part of the animal kingdom because you don't think it's cute and cuddly. Everything does have a message, and the messages really come from the behaviors of the animal. You can learn from them. I mean, for example, bears are able to find the correct plants to take care of something like a tummy upset. They've actually researched this, and when a bear has got an upset stomach, it actually goes for an herb that's known to be an herb that fixes that problem. So there is a very distinct kind of intelligence that's there. It's not the same kind of intelligence that we value in society, you know, the IQ kind of intelligence, but that is a form of intelligence, and intuition is also a form of intelligence. So I finally started to come around because, you know, even people that do this kind of thing have trouble with it sometimes. It's like, nah, that's not for me. So one day I got this urge to go to this bookstore down here, and I popped into the aisle with all of the tarot cards and the divination decks, and I looked around, and for some reason I came across this deck called Bird Signs, and I'm thinking, okay, right, again? Yeah. When you see stuff repetitively like that, that spirit totally trying to get your attention. And it's not to force you to do anything in particular. It's more like it's a very subtle way of saying, please notice this. This has something of value. That's what guidance is going to be like. You're not going to get commands from spirit. If you're getting commands, I can tell you right now, you're not connecting with something good, and you need to kind of rethink listening to whoever it is that's telling you you need to do X, Y, and Z. I picked up the deck. I brought it home. And I really connected to this deck. And I was like, wow. So, you know, birds really are pretty cool. They all have these different kinds of behaviors, and they have these different kinds of roles in the forest. And I learned more about, like, I'd never seen a blue jay before. I mean, I've seen them on TV, but I'm not the kind of person that runs around in the woods. So having the woods kind of behind my house here, it was like, wow, look at these birds. I can't believe them. They really are beautiful. And there were a lot of blue jays here. And I was like, wow, that's extremely cool. Because I always thought they were just so pretty. The colors are pretty. Their call is not very pretty. It's real squawky. It's real abrupt. But that's because they are the alarms, if you will, of the forest. If there's some kind of animal around that's about to pounce, and there's a bird, a blue jay, or a bunch of blue jays up there, they're going to start to squawk. And that's how you're going to know something's up. Whenever I see a blue jay or a squirrel in the back here that's just chirping away, I know there's something out there that shouldn't be, or something that they perceive as some kind of a threat. So when I pulled the blue jay card and I read about it on there, I was like, oh, let's see what blue jay has to say, because blue jay comes around so much. And let me actually see if I can look it up, because I do have a file that has all of those readings in it. And I have a blue jay one in there. So let's see. Bird signs. And let's go to blue jay. Bear with me just a second. I'm scrolling down. scrolling. There's a whole bunch of them in here, too, that I see in my backyard. Okay, so blue jay, turns out, is about communication. The message that blue jay has is communication is the bridge to understanding. Notice they don't say talking, they say communication. There's a whole lot out there that's communication that is not verbal. The reading that I gave for that day, I talked about the book actually has its own kind of interpretation. It has to do more with the behaviors of the animal. An interesting fact about the blue jay is that the male and female appear identical. And that kind of message is like, don't be fooled by appearances. So it's kind of a, you get a handle for how these things are interpreted after a while. You kind of have to practice. It's not always completely obvious. It's like, oh, blue jay must mean this. But for me, because of what was happening in my life at that time, it really was about the throat chakra, and that's the energy center in your throat that deals with communication and not being able to speak my own words. For some reason at that point, I felt really repressed by the people and the situations around me. I was allowing everything to happen and not taking care of myself because I guess I just felt like if I spoke up, there would be more trouble. And so here comes this little blue jay to tell me that you need to use your words, reclaim the power of your words and use them responsibly. So for example, gossiping about someone is very damaging, while speaking up for a worthy cause is much more positive. So blue jay helps us to remember to be truthful yet considerate. So jay uses its call as an alarm to alert other nearby birds that danger may be approaching, which is an act of kindness and consideration to the others. So the communication aspect, it's a bridge to understanding. That was only one reading. There are so many different kinds of birds back here. And like I said, I just thought these things were, they're just there. And what I didn't realize is that they do carry a message for us. They're part of nature. We're part of nature. Everything is connected. So if you're seeing something repetitively, especially if it's an animal of some kind or even a bug or an insect of some kind, there's actually a message there. And even though you may think, well, everybody sees butterflies, you know, they're always around. This is the time of year they come around. Yeah, but have you ever been driving in your car and you're going really fast and all of a sudden you see one single butterfly that happens to be a strange color, maybe just all white, which are kind of rare, just fly over your windshield? That's not typical. That's not something you see every day. That is spirit's way of getting your attention. So my best advice would be, go out and check out the Ted Andrews books because they're the best ones out there right now that I know of. Look up what butterfly means. In my personal life, it is about transformation, but when I see a butterfly, I have learned, and this is through observation and experience, butterfly tells me you're going in the right direction, everything is going to be okay. And it's always when I have that question in my mind that I see a butterfly. So you really have to pay attention in order to understand the meanings behind a lot of these things that you're going to get. I see a lot of cardinals back here. Cardinal happens to be about transformation. And the message is transformation is a change in your thoughts and actions. That's kind of an important thing. People don't really know what transformation is. You know, life goes by pretty fast. Change is constant. At this point in time, change is a lot faster than it has been ever. I mean, in Neil Donald Walsh's book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, he talks about, you know, a couple of generations ago, 40 years of your life could go by and you wouldn't have any major changes. And now it's maybe about 20 in his generation. And by the time the next generation comes, we're talking maybe just a matter of like a year or a few months before major life changes are going to happen. So a major thing that we all have to start to get used to is change. So if we think about change as transformation instead of something that interrupts our life, that's kind of, you know, a really helpful thing. So I pulled this card and I posted it. I got quite a few responses on it. You know, you're walking around, you see a cardinal, it stops and looks at you. I've had this happen. I actually have a cardinal that there's nothing on the end of my window where my bedroom is for these things to hold on to, and I know sometimes they'll try to grab on to like the wall and they'll just kind of look around. Somehow this cardinal came to my window and I swear to God, it sat there and looked at me. It was so, seemed like forever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to look up the cardinal today. It's like, spirit always finds a way. That's one of my favorite sayings, because it does. It may not be the way you think, but it's going to find a way. The interpretation from that book had to do with honoring your feelings, not second-guessing yourself, and that slight changes in thinking can alter your patterns. So, as I said before, thoughts are things, and they do have an effect. And because we're all connected, the more of us that are thinking the same thing actually will bring about a change. You know, the law of attraction stuff is something that I pick on a lot. And it's mainly just because I feel like it's misled people and made them feel like failures, because the law of attraction made it seem like the universe is one big wishing well. All you have to do is sit around and think about stuff, and whoa, it just happens. It's really not that easy. And if you're already feeling like crap, that, you know, your life is terrible and things are not going your way, and you try something like that and then it also doesn't work, you're just right back where you started. And I feel like that's irresponsible. I don't think that if I was writing that book, there's no way I would have second-guessed putting it out with just what was there and maybe added some supplemental stuff, because it's more about inspiration than it is about practicality. You have to be able to actually use these things. Otherwise, reading about them does not help you at all. So where was I going with that? Okay, changing in your thinking. There have been studies that have shown, and Lynn McTaggart has also a great book on that too, called The Intention Experiments, where if a large number of people get together and meditate on the same thing, it actually induces a change. There's a doctor out there who's he's a physicist, Dr. William Tiller. He participated in an experiment where there was this black box located somewhere in the world, and there was a glass of water in it. And they tried to put together a bunch of people and say, okay, we're going to sit down here and we're going to concentrate on raising this pH of this water by 1 point. It doesn't sound like much, but it's awesome. These people are actually able to do it. And they had no access to this thing. It just, the power of their thoughts. And what my point there is, it's the collective. You can't just expect one person to come out and be able to change everything. You're competing with all the minds of all the spirits and all of the people that are here. That's why being connected is so powerful, and it's why there have been so many spirits that have come down here on Earth, incarnate, to broadcast these kinds of messages. Souls like Gandhi and Mother Teresa. You and I may not ever get to that kind of a level where we're that high profile and we can spread that kind of message to that amount of people, but that was something special that they were here to do. So even though you might not be able to reach any kind of mass audience like that, what you do in your life and the souls that you touch are equally as important. So if you can make that tiny change just today in your thinking, as the cardinal will have you believe, you go through this day and you think to yourself, you know, whoever I touch today is going to be changed by me, and what I do has an impact. Your attitude will change, because a lot of us go around thinking that there's nothing that we're contributing here because we're not on TV. Let me just check in with the chat room here for a section. Let's see, being a true spirit, sharing of meaning what? Okay, I need a little bit of clarification here. Not sure what you're asking. The Sunday child, could you maybe clarify for me a little bit? It's really hard for me to talk and type at the same time, especially if I'm doing two different things. So if you can help me out and give me a little bit of clarification, that would be awesome. The color of the cardinal is red, which proclaims passion. Whatever your passion, when you see the cardinal, it's time to step up to the plate. And let's see, cardinals, little birds called sparrows, those little guys, they're really common in the city. You know, when I lived in Boston and I worked in Harvard Square, I would see these little sparrows, you know, hanging around looking for breadcrumbs and stuff like that. And you think, oh, yeah, it's just very common, doesn't really mean anything. But when I went and looked inside the book, I found out that, and Ted Andrews in Animal Speak talks about the sparrow as being a symbol for peasants during the Middle Ages. And during this time, the lower classes were ruled by overlords, They loved to hear stories of how insignificant sparrow triumphed over the larger animals, like bears and wolves and eagles. Traditional symbols of those who oppressed the peasants. So basically, the sparrow does have a lot of meaning in the city. The city is not just full of people that are rich and well off. There's a whole lot of homeless people in the city. There's a whole lot of people that are struggling in the city. And having all these sparrows around, if they actually tuned into that part, which, you know, I know the city doesn't have a whole lot of nature, but these little guys are able to make it. They're able to survive in this kind of crazy environment. And it can be an inspiration to you to see a sparrow and know these little guys are representatives of the ability to rise above tyranny, whether it's human or social. It's pretty, you know, when you get down to it, it's pretty awesome. And we go through life on autopilot. We kind of forget about what's going on all around us and that we are able to kind of glean a little bit of wisdom from our little friends, you know, animals and stuff. Even squirrels. Absolutely love squirrels. At one point, and you know, animals are a way that the spirit world will reach you too. I don't know if anyone has any stories about this, but at one point, my mom was here visiting, and this about a week before that, I'd noticed there was all these like little squirrels. You know, they never came really close. And I said, I was talking to my grandmother, who's been on the other side for a very long time, likes to talk to me, help me out. And she's just always kind of close. She's kind of like my secret friend that's always there and I can ask questions to. And I was like, you know, it would be really nice if one of these squirrels would come up here on the balcony because I really like them. They're really cute and I just want to see them. I want to watch how they are. Well, my mom's sitting outside on the balcony. This is like a week later. And she says, Nicole, come here. And I look and there's a little squirrel and it's just walking really slowly, like looking around, and it's really close to her, and I'm thinking, wow, these guys are not usually this ballsy, I guess, if you want to put it that way. They're not like city. This is not too much of a city here. This is like really rural. So I'm thinking, wow. And then I went back in the house, and I thought, oh, my God, I asked for a squirrel to come up here. So it wasn't instantaneous. It was sort of like you send it out and you let it go. But I know that that squirrel was a sign to me, an outward sign that my grandmother was listening to me. So you will get little signs from spirit through animals. Sometimes you'll get it. They will find ways to give you a sign of their presence that seems ordinary, but it's like a penny. A lot of people do see pennies. It's sort of unexpected or happens one too many times for you to be able to really say, oh, it's just a coincidence. So I want to share this story because this happened to me recently. And I've had kind of a lot of, I don't know if I put it turmoil, but my life's been real topsy-turvy for quite some time now. And I've got a lot of questions about where I should go, what I should do. And spirit will help you, but spirit will never tell you, you must do this. If you feel that strongly when you get guidance, that's your own soul telling you, yes, this is true for you. But it's not really a command. So I want to make sure everyone knows you always have free will. You always have the ability to say, I don't choose this. Well, I work as a massage therapist, and I'm sitting, you know, my clients always talk to me. I know that that's a lot of people say that's a huge no-no. I don't even have to open my mouth. And the people that want to talk, they just come to me. Somehow. I've even had in the last second people changing therapists at the last second. I end up with them and they end up being a talker. The first person, she was kind of talking a little bit about her life and her son and how proud she was of him because at 25, he's already a college professor. And I was just kind of listening to her. You know, I know a lot of people need to kind of let the gas out a little bit. You know, like when you open up a bottle of soda, you can either open it up all the way and let it blow up in your face or you can turn the screw the little cap off a little bit at a time and let some of that come out. So that's what I kind of equate these little sessions to, where people are trying to get some of this emotional stuff off their chest. And she started talking about that, and she said, you know, his dad left when he was 2. It's only been me, and it's been very, very hard. So I was thinking, you know, there are a lot of people out there like her, but she probably felt super alone. So just listening sometimes is all the person wants. But she said something to me that I was like, you don't hear that every day. She talked about her son doing some writing and giving a presentation, and that when he went up there, he thanked her. And he was like, you know, my mom's out in the audience, and I want everyone here to know that I wouldn't be here without her. So she turns to me and she says, and she literally picked her head up off the pillow and said, if I died right after that moment, I would feel like I did something. You know, that was a very important moment for me. And I was like, wow, you know, I get that. I really do get that. I don't have children, but I get that because I have been a stepmom, and being a stepmom is a really, really hard and thankless job sometimes. And so is being just a biological parent. So I kind of just took that in and went my merry way. Well, as I was about to leave, I gathered up all my, you know, my laundry and all that, and I walked out the door. Of course, I forgot the laundry. Yeah, good job, right? Just did all that, put it all together, walked out without it. So I went back in, and as I was walking back in, one of the other girls that works at the spa was running out to get me because her customer was wanting to meet me because she was considering getting a massage, and it's kind of personal. People like to know who's going to be touching them. So she started talking to me, and she was just getting a pedicure. I'm standing there. I went back to get my laundry, thank God, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have heard this. She told me a whole bunch of stuff that completely resonates with me, including the fact that she had breast cancer twice, which is something that runs in my family. So I paid that was sort of like, pay attention, Nicole. But at the end of, towards the end of the conversation, which got really well, like really in depth for someone who just wanted to get to know me for a couple of minutes, she says, I'm a retired attorney, but I did a lot of work in like social work. And it doesn't pay enough. You know, it's really a hard job. But when you know you've placed a child into the hands of the right person, it's really worth it. It's really rewarding. And she says, you know, I get letters from people, and they say, you know, thank you because you saved my life. I mean, there are people out there in horrible situations, young people being abused and all that, and this woman was someone that saved them. So someone had asked her, you know, how do you do this work? And it's like so thankless. And she's like, because, yeah, you know what I'm going to say. If I die tomorrow, I know that I did something that made a difference. No lie. This was within literally 2 hours of this other woman saying the same thing. It was crazy. And I thought, oh my God, this is my message. And Spirit wanted me to get it so badly that they found a way for me to hear it in such close succession that I had to know without a doubt that that was something I needed to know. So I started to think about it, and I was like, if I die tomorrow, can I say I lived a good life? Oh, I think I lived a very good life. I've had, you know, nothing but good intentions through my life. I think I'm a fairly considerate person. But can I say I made a difference in enough of a capacity that I would be like, well, that was a good life. I'm ready for what's next. And the answer is no. And I thought, you know, with what's going on in my life right now, there's a big decision for me to make. And it's whether or not to really go off in this whole path with being psychic and medium and having mediumistic abilities and being able to write, whether or not I should do that or do what's safe, which is something a lot of people out there are experiencing. So if you're listening and that's what you're going through, you are definitely not alone. You know, it's like, it's safe for me to just do this because I know it's steady. I will be miserable, but I will be okay. Well, are you really going to be okay? I mean, you'll be alive. You'll be, you know, like, you'll have a house and clothes and all that, but what is that going to do for your spirit? Is that enough for you? And most of the advice that I give out to people when they come to me with something like that is you don't have to make something completely your career. You don't have to start all over again and try to start from scratch. You can actually just try to incorporate some of what it is that your dream is into other things. Or you can go out and do volunteer stuff. You know, you can do things that don't pay you, but you do in your free time because they're your passion. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And if you go far enough and you open yourself up enough, the right people will just start to come your way. Because what you've done is you've told Spirit, I'm committed to this. It's something that I want to do. And Spirit will help you. You'll get the right people will come your way. It's happened to me time and time again. And I'm always amazed when it happens. And yet it's also always a confirmation for me that, you know, we're not alone and we have help. So I'm about to kind of try to figure out what to do. I've done some writing. I'm in the middle of writing a book. I've got this radio show. I've got a blog. I've put a whole lot of time into my passion. However, it's not the job that I have. It's not my main job. So I'm thinking about, well, what will I do that can make an impact? How can I say I was here in the world and I did something that affected people in a positive way? I think this is it. And I'm pretty sure that what these two people were doing that day in the spa, yes, they were getting their nails done, and yes, they were getting their massages, but spirit has a way of putting a little bit of inspiration into you at just the right time so you say the right thing. And a lot of times that happens to me where I don't know why I said something, but I say it. So I've got to just, I can't censor it. I've learned that if I censor it, it kind of goes awry. And I start not making any sense. And I'm like, how can I make sense when I don't know what I'm saying? And then when I know what I'm saying, I'm not making any sense. It's crazy, but that's kind of what happens. It's if you can kind of keep your eyes open and notice things that are happening multiple times in really quick succession, those are called synchronicities. And once you start to notice them, they'll start coming faster, and you'll start to really appreciate the fact that you opened up to that part. It's not to say you ignore your life, you know, you don't balance your checkbook and you just kind of always pay attention to signs. That's not going to work. You have to do both. But the next show is going to be on signs and symbols. So if you have experiences you want to share or you want to ask a question, definitely be sure to do that. You can do it before the show, too, so that I just kind of I can go in and answer the question without you having to call in if you're too shy. Let's see, what else do I want to mention here? I tried to take some notes beforehand so that I wouldn't forget stuff. Let's see. I posted a couple links in the chat room, so if you want to follow me on Facebook, the link has been posted in there, and also my blog, which is Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. You'll find a whole lot of information there, stuff about personal experience I've had, the way that my path evolved, things that you can look into and kind of compare and say, you know, wow, that's something that happened to me. I don't feel so alone. Or, you know, just kind of a little peek into what it's like in someone else's world just for a few minutes. I also have this show, which I'm really hoping people will start to kind of respond to my my pokes and prods for show topics. I'm not really getting too much for that. So please, this is your forum. I'm doing this because I want everyone out there to be able to feel like they can reach out and talk to someone who's not going to look down on them for asking a stupid question. There really aren't any stupid questions, and there's really no need for you to feel like, you know, someone's going to make fun of you because you didn't know something. We've all been there once. Everyone wasn't born into this world knowing everything. Well, we were, but then we forget. But that's a whole other topic. So I just want to say thank you to everyone today for listening. I really can't thank everyone enough for your support, for allowing me to be who I am and to do what I do. That freedom to me is priceless. And I hope that I've inspired everyone else out there to be able to kind of do the same thing. So until next time, which will be Monday at 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, I want to just say have a great week, and I hope you'll join me. And as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot. Namaste, and thanks for listening.